and welcome to Radio Free Nintendo. This is June 13th, 2017, the first day of E3 2017, and I am actually going to go ahead and call this episode 327. We don't usually number these episodes, but I'm the host, and I've got a quorum, so fucking try and stop me.
If you want to call it 200 episodes ago, James.
Yeah, I know what I said, but I just figured confidence would allow it to just continue on. This is 527, and the best part is I can't fix that in post because there won't be any. I am your host, James Jones, and I'm joined today by my fellow RFN colleague, Mr. Greg Leahy.
Ahoy, ahoy, everyone.
John is out at E3, and Guillaume, as he alluded to last week, is on vacation, so neither of us can join us, at least right yet. So instead, I decided to bring in two individuals from other NWR podcasts to kind of get the full overview of the NWR podcast scene, with the exception of Radio Trivia. So I'm joined today by Mr. Casey Gibson.
The drought is over, gentlemen.
So where can we normally...
No, it isn't. Not in my mind. Yeah. Not the one I think about.
So where can we normally hear you? Uh-oh. Hello?
Oh, I'm here. Oh,
okay. Hey, so where can our audience normally hear you?
Normally you can hear me on Talk Nintendo Podcast, which posts every Thursday on the website.
Yep. And I'm also joined today by Mr. Carmine Red.
Hey, guys.
And you are normally of?
Well, I'm on connectivity every now and again, and if you're getting a prize, it's usually me mailing it.
It usually is. Did you want to do one today? I know you had mentioned it to me.
I think we can throw one out a little bit later. Let's see where this goes.
I'll let you decide how to throw it out. You can just stop me at any point and go, it's time to do a prize. And it's all you, man. So we're going to go ahead and just get started. Later, we might be joined by Mr. Lindemann or Dr. Metz, who have been playing these games. This is, of course, the challenge of, does John remember the podcast he's scheduled to be on? Potentially, he may even retweet the podcast that he is scheduled to be on and still not be here. So, if you are listening, please go ahead and join the Nintendo World Report Discord. We will be interacting with the chat throughout the event. We've been using it today to kind of cover the Nintendo's digital event, and it was a good time. So let's get right down to it. Let's talk about the digital event. So, I'm going to give kind of a really, really thousand-foot recap. And then you guys can jump in and we can start talking about stuff once we do that. Just like a lot of the other press conferences this year, a lot of the stuff that Nintendo talked about was already known. Because, of course, Nintendo had done their big blowout back in January for the Switch. And they kept their focus largely, at least their advertised focus, was largely going to be on games for this holiday. Now, that's not to say they didn't drop a few surprises on us. But a lot of the time was allocated to seeing more of big games that we knew were coming, like Mario. But we also got to see some new stuff, like Yoshi, no subtitle, Kirby, no subtitle, both 2018, the year of gritty reboots with no subtitles. Presumably they'll get one at some point, but I kind of like the idea of just Kirby and Yoshi.
And we got to see a title screen.
That's right.
Or a logo, whatever, title reveal.
Yes.
And then we got like two sentences of Pokemon.
Yeah, so we were told that a Pokemon game is being made, which the world continues to spin, which led to John Lindemann taking a victory lap you cannot let him have, because he did not predict this. He predicted Pokemon Stars. And we also got to see I'm not even sure I would call it a tease. We got to see that Metroid Prime 4 is a thing. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Would you classify that as a tease? I mean, it's sub-tease.
The YouTube title is First Look, but... Yeah, what did they show us?
First Look at what?
At that beautifully styled 4?
It's not a tease, because there's a content to a tease. This is an announcement. Hey, this is coming.
This is an announcement that we will tease at a future date.
It's like for a movie, you say, hey, we're making Godzilla versus King Kong. Here's a title screen, goodbye.
Smash Gear notes that it is a nice looking 4, which I can't argue with. It is a nice looking 4, but honestly, it looked like the Fantastic Four 4, and then I got really bad
that's
flashbacks
what I was thinking, yeah.
to those movies. It went, oh no, pick a different font. So immediately following, of course, we had two more announcements, but right away, we had the announcement of Metroid Samus Returns for the 3DS. This is a remake of Metroid 2, which might kind of explain Nintendo's behavior around remakes of Metroid 2 lately. And then about a couple hours later, we had we'll call it second worst kept secret from Nintendo's E3 presentation following the Rabbids of Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga. Is that the one that it is?
Yeah, plus Bowser's Minions.
Bowser's Minions.
Yeah. Yeah, the remake of that for 3DS. And I think that pretty much covers all the announcements. Did I miss anything?
Rocket League got announced.
Yeah, the one they opened with.
One they opened with.
Well, Rocket League was in the multiplayer.
The multiplayer montage that
began everything.
Yeah, Rocket League is coming to Switch. And I think that was all the major announcements. I'm looking.
Yeah, they touched on the DLC for Zelda, but didn't really give us much.
Yep. And the chat wants me to say they announced Amiibo. They announced a lot of Amiibo today. In fact, the press kit had more Amiibo than they announced, and then on their stream, there was even more Amiibo still. I think there's like 20 Amiibo shown today, or some absurdist number. So the chat says 13. 13 Amiibo. It's quite a lot of Amiibo. So one more addendum to the Rocket League crossplay between PC and Xbox One users. So I think this time for real, that's it for announcements. Did I miss anything again?
That's it.
Lots of dates. Xenoblade 2 is still a 2017 game.
See about that.
Hey, they're saying it this late. I feel pretty good about it. I feel like saying it this late, they're making a commitment.
I sure hope so.
We got to see more of Fire Emblem Warriors, which... the power of friendship or something. Like, it's all in on that.
I loved the Treehouse for that. It's so great, the enthusiasm that Treehouse has for some of those characters.
Yeah, they were
really rooting for some and hated others.
It's a thing for certain. I'm trying to think.
Yeah,
Did we get anything else? We got a date for Mario Odyssey, and we got to see a whole heck of a lot more about Mario Odyssey. So why don't we actually go ahead and step in and really dig into Mario Odyssey, because that was sort of the thrust of what they talked about today. It got a pretty decent amount of time in the direct, and then it got two distinct segments in their Treehouse Live affair that really ended relatively soon after the direct started, because they jumped over to the Splatoon tournament. So yeah, I'm just going to open the floor and, you know, thoughts, Mario Odyssey, now that we've seen a lot more of it.
So when they first started showing the grass up to the dinosaur, were you guys thinking Monster Hunter?
Yeah, but then I saw that it was just a regular dinosaur and wasn't covered in like weird appendages.
It's like Turok?
Yeah, but it was a little like bright.
It wasn't like a great Jaggy or something. It was a straight T-Rex, which was awesome. But I was thinking of Zach, actually.
Yeah, so was I. I was like, oh boy, he's probably losing himself right now.
I was thinking with the swaying grass that if they hadn't already shown Xenoblade, I would have been thinking of that. But
yeah, that
alas,
was the thing.
They had already shown it. So.
Like, they're showing Xenoblade again?
Yeah, my very first thought was, did they forget they already showed Xenoblade? And then the dinosaur showed up, and I was still with that, and then saw a dinosaur wasn't covered in garbage, which it would have also been if it was a Xenoblade dinosaur. And then the hat shows up.
And then the hat.
Yeah, so the hat, which has a name, Cappy, which is predictable.
Very, very original.
Yeah, is on his head, and then Mario comes out as an apparition flying out of the top of the dinosaur's brain. And then we get launched into what might be the strangest trailer Nintendo has ever shown for anything ever.
Was that supposed to be Pauline singing that?
It kind of looked like that way.
I think so, yeah. Mayor Pauline, thank you. Respect her title. Yeah.
Mayor Pauline. That's amazing.
So basically the trailer...
How did you know that was her singing?
Well, I mean, they showed later that she's in there. So I think that was the assumption. But what is this game? So we know that Mario can use Cappy to take over pretty much anything that resembles sentience. And I say resembles because I'm not 100% convinced Billet Bills are sentient, since they seem to have like this incredible urge to blow up. but if they are, like, okay. But he also controlled rocket ships and electricity, and
I have a theory that this is the spiritual sequel to Geist.
Yeah,
you know?
Miyamoto held on to that idea of like possess that dog food bowl, and it turned into Mario Odyssey.
I was thinking like Super Mario, the Mind Gate conspiracy, or like what. It's a weird, like, so, you know, all these Mario games have a thing, like, this is the thing for this game. And, we thought, because we had seen Cappy, we had seen, Mario jumping off of it and stuff, we thought, like, oh, okay, it's gonna be like an ad, like in a shooter that Mario gets some extra abilities from. Instead it turned into like a full blown PsyOps control system where you're just throwing the hat and taking over stuff. It's
and but, everything.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's ambitious.
Because we no longer have like hats. We no longer have like the metal hat, the flying hat. I was thinking, oh, it's a cheap hat. No, he's controlling a cheap.
Yeah, he is.
So
a
basically, anything in that game, yeah.
Like he's not even controlling it. He becomes.
He's not wearing the cheap, right?
No, he's possessing
the cheap.
And then they all grow a Mario mustache. Even like electricity gets the Mario mustache. It's weird. This is a weird game.
And you can play as one of those realistic humans in New Donk City.
Oh, yeah. When he took over the human, that was the part human. Where I started to get, like, heart palpitations. Because he flies into the human. Like, he gets all stretched out like a really bad CG from, like, the mid-90s of somebody entering the internet or whatever. And he gets, like, all... And, like, just then materializes into the brain cavity of the human. And then the human spawns the hat and the mustache, and it's really unsettling. There's actually a still image that somebody captured that is one of the most haunting things I've ever seen in a Nintendo announcement ever. Ugh.
I like how they were in the treehouse. They were going around each world, and they were saying, like, in the forest, like, each world has these weird inhabitants that are native to them. And I'm like, oh, and the humans are the weird inhabitants of New Donk City. I get it. They look regular, but they're really weird.
Yeah, well, they kind of look non-human. Like they're more. I say that, but I mean, we're dealing with Mario, who in this world is shown to have proportions that make absolutely no sense. But like, they look plasticky. Like it's a style decision, obviously. They kind of, I say,
yeah,
this,
it's kind of a retro look, you know, kind of like 50s, 60s America, you know, kind of thing going on for me.
Yeah. There's a weird, like, resonance to the Sonic game that we're not going to name. Because in that game, Sonic also looks completely out of place and stuff. But I feel like in this case, it's deliberate. Versus in that one where it just seemed like it was a result of that being a tech demo they turned into a game.
So interesting thing from GX is, like, is this weirder than Mario and Rabbids?
Oh, that's a tough call. Because Mario and Rabbids, we saw... officially 2 days ago at the Ubisoft press event, or yesterday. It was yesterday. And that turned out to just be XCOM Mario plus Rabbids, and Rabbids dressed as Peach and stuff. Like, that's a really strange game. But I wonder if, like, the Rabbids being involved just sort of resets, like, recalibrates what weird is.
Yeah, because it looks like it's a pretty normal game if you took out the Rabbids. I mean...
Well, except Mario's got a gun!
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is a little strange, and Yoshi with his bazooka, but, I mean, that game, not to jump too far off of Odyssey, but that game looks absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it does. I still think this is weirder, though. Like when they spent time talking about, like, currencies, like, oh, this kingdom has this very specific currency that looks an awful lot like nachos, which is weird.
to buy your sombrero.
To buy a sombrero and the poncho, which Mario needed to then do a mariachi performance so he could get a moon, which is what plus stars in this game.
The aesthetic of that, like, Mexican town, or it just looks so cool.
Yeah, it does. Literally too, because it's a frozen desert city. But we're back in the Mario 64 Sunshine stuff legit, because you've got your completing challenges to collect. Well, they're not stars. I want to say stars because they've always been stars. To collect moons.
Well, it was shines, but yeah,
it's true.
Point.
It was shines, but they were vague star shaped.
They were more starry than these moons, certainly. Yeah. But I mean, the biggest thing for me that came out of the demonstrations on Treehouse Live was the fact that, and very sensibly in my book, that you are now looking at a situation where, you know, the worlds aren't like remixed for different challenges, which are then sectored off. So every time you find something, you then get warped back to the hub world and all that kind of stuff. You know, if you're going to do this more sandboxy thing now again for the first time in a long time, you know, it's nice to see that they've gone really quite a bit further in that direction than they had originally, where it was kind of like they wanted to do more discrete levels, but they couldn't, so they just made more out of the so many playgrounds they'd built in, you know, something like Mario 64. You know, and that's why I think they went in the direction with the Galaxy games, where it did get more just like, you know, each thing is its own challenge and all that, and there wouldn't be other stuff to find. But now that's what it's all about. It's like, hey, go anywhere, possess a bunch of stuff, just screw around, find stuff in any order, whatever, you know. It's just, you know, somewhat similar to what's happened with Zelda, and you know, that to me is it really benefits that style of play, because it's one thing I always noticed when I went back to play like a Banjo game, and you collect jiggies and you don't get walked back. It's like, oh cool, you know, I can keep going. I don't have to reset everything to do the next thing.
It's nice to not have that hard break in between.
I had a really hard Banjo feelings watching this, because not only is it you stay in the world, which you noticed immediately, because in the Treehouse segment they're just collecting moons like crazy. It's that you're doing a lot of stuff that's not platforming to get them. You know, I mentioned it. He had to get his mariachi outfit so he could go perform with the mariachi band, and that netted him a moon. In the costume shop, there's one hanging out behind the counter, which is probably you have to buy all the clothes or something. You know, those, the Banjo games, you had to do platforming, but there was other stuff you could do to get them.
And I think especially like with 2E and some, it's at 60, DK64, it kind of got further away from platforming after the first Banjo, which, you know, you had a lot of mini games and character interactions and like fetch quests.
Like this game?
Yeah. Although this is a lot more flat. One of the biggest problems with the transformations and sort of like character switching and stuff is how kind of inflexible it was.
Right.
In terms of like, okay, well, you got to go to the Mumbo pad or this, that, the other. I mean, the nice thing about this sort of possession idea is how, you know, sort of flexible and sort of improvisation sort of apt it is. You know, just like, I've seen something, I'll try it now, you know, just on a whim. Rather than kind of having get into the right kind of sequence of scripting, that was kind of what happened with the Banjo games. And I think that kind of bogged down the pacing of those, and it got a bit too far away from platforming. And that is probably the one concern I would have about this, is I do hope that all the sort of transformation stuff and all that doesn't take it too far away from platforming, because I was, you know, quite happy with where they got with 3D Land, 3D World, in terms of, you know, getting 3D platformer about as close to the side scroller as they could, in terms of it being a platform game rather than a wander about and solve stuff kind of game. But we'll see. Hopefully it'll balance out nicely, and certainly the freedom, I think, will be welcome.
What I really liked when they showed off was actually when you like went into the wall and did those pretty traditional platforming segments to go up the wall and then off
worlds.
Of it.
So like Link Between Worlds, except you do like regular Mario side scrolling while in the wall.
I thought that was a really cool little bit.
I liked how it looked too, like how they did it visually. Because it's, you know, they actually sort of demade him down into an 8-bit game, and then they changed the music, and then when he popped out, it's a nice touch. I don't need to see that a lot. I think Link Between Worlds, that being the core mechanic, kind of just meant that they kind of shoehorned it in a bunch of places. But if it shows up a couple times per stage or whatever, that's probably fine. I want to know how we use... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering, like, what did it look like in terms of, like, completeness of the game for you guys? Because it's coming out in when? October? And
the 26th. Yep.
And there's speculation that this game is a lot further along than it might otherwise be. Like, it could have been at launch. I guess there's leaks about that. So I'm looking at it, and it's looking gorgeous. And I'm just wondering, is it all polished at this point? Is, like, the game practically done, do you think?
I mean, it's going to be hard to say, because Nintendo is fastidious when they put together E3 demos. So it's not necessarily representative of the quality of the game as a whole. They're very, very, like, intent that the demo be super polished. So it could be that those sections are especially done. But, I mean, the game certainly looked like it was going to be ready for the holiday. Like, that's the state I would expect to see a Nintendo game in at this point when it's coming out in, say, what is it, November?
October 27th.
Yeah, October
even 27th. Before November.
Yeah, yeah. A game is coming out in 4 months. That's the state I would expect to see it in.
I was actually talking to Neil and the guys earlier. Do you think this game could see some DLC in the future, maybe adding on another world or two or something to that extent? I mean, I personally could see that happening, but just sort of seeing what you guys were thinking.
Well, it's certainly something that it's interesting because they've done it with the new Super Mario Brothers games, but not so with the 3D Mario games yet. That, you know, they've had obviously the kind of challenges for New Super Mario Brothers 2, then you had New Super Luigi for the Wii U game and all that. So, yeah, the series has been there. Not so much the EAD Tokyo stuff. So you would think it's perfectly plausible, and they just seem to be embracing it more and more. So a new kingdom to explore seems very easily extensible. Maybe even some kind of like remix stuff like they've done before could be part of a DLC package, you know, a bit like what you see with Zelda, where it's, you know, the first tranche is kind of, you know, where you just update certain things already. You know, they've done that in the past with some of the post game stuff in Galaxy 2, that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, it's very flexible, probably a lot easier to kind of extend than something like Zelda, which they're already doing.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, I think it's definitely something they can do, and probably more like that, like Super Luigi U, where it's like this whole other game. And I think it's just a question of how they planned it, because obviously for stuff like Zelda, they've planned it. You sort of have to have a plan going into this thing. Otherwise, you're going to spend a lot of time like retooling the entire game and then patching this entire thing in. So maybe they're not ready to talk about it now. But I think if they've planned it, they're going to do it. If not, you know, then I can't imagine they'll take time out of their schedule to go back and change that up. But like the opportunity is there, because Mario is going to sell a ton, you know, and like just from the business side of things, it's like if you're going to sell DLC, this is one of the games to do it in.
Certainly from the standpoint of how you would add it, it's a heck of a lot easier. You just add, because there's the portals that were in New Donk, as it were. Just put more of them in there and just make the world
New
somewhere
Donk.
Else. Yeah, you just. I mean, you could very easily say when EAD's done with this game, a certain subset of the team goes off and just keeps making stuff, while the rest move on to the next project. I mean, because, you know, the level planners are probably pretty close to done with this game. If they're not done already, they could be building those levels right now, and you just have that cycle. You just, you know, the team that did the early phase of game development has been done, because this game is coming out in 4 months. They're probably not working on it right now. They could be making new levels. You just keep moving that along. It seems that Nintendo, and we had kind of guessed this, it seems that Nintendo intends to use DLC to keep games in the news.
Like, that is a good point.
Zelda, like, they very clearly mentioned it. not just to talk about the DLC, because it didn't really talk that much more about what they already have said about the DLC. That they mentioned, they gave a little more detail on the second DLC pack, but not a lot. They just sort of gave it a name and some fancy artwork. And then they remixed
and some amiibo.
And they remixed some video that was already in the game. But, you know, they talked about it for about as much time as they talked about a lot of other stuff in this direct or this digital event, as it were. But it's a reminder. Like Reggie says, the goal of this is to talk about what they've got for sale in holiday 2017. And they still have Zelda for sale in holiday 2017. They want to keep that thing's attach rate as close to 1-to-1 as possible, because that's just more money for them for a game that they've already, you know, they've already sunk all their money into. So the DLC sort of gave them the opportunity to go like, hey, remember also we have this super highly regarded game, that we're just going to make better in a few months. So you can go get it. Actually, the first pack's what? Is it this month? Is it next
June
month?
30th. Pretty much a couple weeks.
Yeah. So like we're right on the edge, and you can give them your money now because it's one bill for both packs. You can go buy it right now, and you can go get your Switch shirt on your game.
And three chests with useful items.
I just want to like pay them $20 and get some amiibo pre-orders, because they announced like so many amiibo. I'm starting to get really nervous about whether I'm going to be able to keep track of them all.
It's a dizzying array of amiibo on this day. For everything. Everything got amiibo.
I guess we fielded this question on RFL about like ARMS not having amiibo, and it just kind of seems even weirder now.
It does. Because Super Mario Odyssey got
no more amiibo. We can't absorb all this in the marketplace right now.
Mario and Luigi got some amiibo with the Goomba and one of the Koopas, I believe, got an amiibo.
Yeah,
but I thought that it was sort of a missed opportunity.
Everybody gets amiibo.
I think we needed a better Samus than the one from the Smash line. The lean into.
Oh, those Metroid amiibos both look really, really nice.
The
Metroid is squishy. Oh, it's squishy. Any amiibo where it's not the typical like just a figure. So like the Woolly Yoshi amiibos. Oh my god, they're so great. Oh, we need more amiibo like that.
Yeah, like I thought once we got the plushes and the cards, that was gonna happen, and we were just gonna start seeing like amiibo things and everything. But you know, they announced those Mario plus Rabbids figurines at the Ubi event, and they don't have amiibo tags in them, which is shocking. Like, really? You didn't put an amiibo tag in those to make, like, you put Donkey Kong amiibo in a Skylanders toy? Like, come on.
I was a little confused, but at the same time, like I said, I don't need more amiibo coming out this year. It's going to do a number on my wallet already. This E3 was ridiculous. It's like, I thought amiibo was slowly going to sort of like die out and they was going to start losing interest in them. But instead, Nintendo doubles down, you know?
Oh, they sure did.
Oh, they look so expensive. God.
Well, it's better than the Ubisoft figurines that go for like $40 each.
Yeah, only $20 if you get the 3-inch, okay, guys? And there's free shipping if you order more than $99. So, think about it. I am. Oh, God. Oh, God.
So, Karma is looking for the opportunity to pre-order these amiibo for the rest of the show. So, if he talks, that's great. If not, he's buying lots of plastic figurines. Do you need two, though, right? You gotta keep a set in the box?
Yeah. That's my system. Oh, God.
Oh, good. I'm so glad I got out of the amiibo hole.
I felt bad as this was happening, and in the NWR Discord, I'm like, I don't understand this. I feel bad when people write to the show, and like, I can't find specific amiibo here. And then people in the chat are like, well, I've got all of them. And I'm like, oh, no. I've stepped in it now. I forgot where I am.
Yeah, I was going down that road early on in the Amiibo lifespan, and luckily I've dug myself out, and I only get the occasional Amiibo now.
So I only need the occasional hit.
just a little taste, you know.
Oh God! All right, well, getting back to games to make this less sad.
I was going to say, I thought it was a little bit of a missed opportunity when they were talking about the Zelda DLC. I feel like they should have shown a little bit more of the story mode, just like a tiny little bit, and then been like, pack one is out right now. And I bet a lot of people would have bit, because it would have been like, okay, I'm excited about the story mode coming later this year, and I can get something right now more than just the Switch t-shirt.
See, I got the distinct impression that they showed us what exists of the story mode. That, like, that thing is not in a very far along state. It just felt like, here's some video with the sepia filter that's already in the original game. We've cut a few things of video together, and here's some artwork of these characters and Amiibo. Everybody get
Amiibo.
Out.
if that's the case, then they gotta get tracking, because that's because it's coming up.
Like that felt like the because that part got very little coverage. They talked about that first part a lot, which again goes back to the we're talking about stuff you can buy, but they've already covered that first part. That, you know, the trial of trial of the sword.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see a little bit more of that, but it's what we expected it to be. At least it's what I expected it to be.
Yeah, the trial of the sword looks like
it, though. We did get to see like actual gameplay of it, whereas before we just got like description. So I have a much better idea in my head of what it is, and I can look forward to playing it. And we have the date, which is cool. It's like actually coming now.
We have a date. It's a real thing. You can throw axes and try to take out blimps. Let's see. Let's talk about Yoshi.
That was
always
a surprise.
Anyone see that coming?
Yeah, I'm like,
no,
I'm
not
like
really.
Greg,
I mean, yeah, because I talked about feeling like we would see something in the side scroller realm, this time. And I was thinking DK, because that probably had the best kind of commercial performance behind it. But instead, we got Yoshi and Kirby. So it's like,
back about to back, too. Like, it was just bang. Bang.
It's about as wrong as I could have been with DK. Just the fact that there was both of the other ones just kind of rubbed it in. But yeah, it's interesting what's going on there. So Yoshi looks kind of like he's made out of felt now rather than knitted. And then you're in this sort of diorama, you know, craft world, your cardboard with like elements of kind of kids' crayon on top of them. So it's like a little bit of a marriage of a Yoshi story and a Yoshi's Island kind of aesthetic, because yeah, you've got that kind of craft look that you've seen in Yoshi Story and other games since, of course. But then you've got the sort of kids drawing aspect, at least in certain areas, from Yoshi's Island, like a little accent on top of it. So, yeah, looks interesting. Then you've got the whole, you flip around the size of the diorama and you shoot eggs, into the screen, out of the screen, all this kind of stuff. So, it's a certain amount of intriguing elements to it. Also, literally, if you watch the trailer on Switch, like I did, just see it in a bit of a cleaner presentation afterwards, you have the little Unreal Engine logo at the end. Yep. So they're advertising the fact that it's made. So, yeah, it's official. Characters in Unreal Engine games don't have to be brick shit houses. They just choked. They just choked.
It's a checkbox.
In the late 2000s, that was just very de rigueur for some reason. It's cool. It looks cool and interesting. Kind of, to be honest, they showed more 2018 logos than I was expecting.
Yeah, me too.
For sure.
You put that Kirby and Prime 4 together, that was more than I was expecting. Prime 4, obviously, because it was just a logo, seems like it's the farthest off. They did say they were going to talk about Yoshi.
At least it had a logo. Pokemon didn't even have that.
True, yeah, it's just a statement of intent. Yeah.
Do you think that was after negative...
been to sort of shoehorned in there as a response to having Pokemon on direct, where it's like, okay, we don't want people to misconstrue the fact that the third, you know, these successors to Sun and Moon are not on Switch does not mean that, you know, it's not going to get mainline Pokemon games the way that Wii U didn't get them and Wii didn't get them and GameCube and all the home consoles, you know, preceded those. So, you know, yeah, I think that was just kind of slanted in there as a reassuring kind of thing.
And I think they did reshoots for that. They're like, oh, we got to reshoot this. Somebody say something about Pokemon for Switch.
Or they just,
that
yeah,
was recorded
just,
this
they just
morning.
Overdubbed the translation. They didn't even reshoot it. They just like if you just have the Japanese one, there's no mention of the Switch, or it's like it's hastily added in there. He starts talking, and then his lips stop moving, and then the text keeps happening.
Yeah,
that was.
Well, like that time when like Nintendo said, "Hey, we're doing Smash," and then like Sakurai was like, "What? We are."
Yeah, you are involved. We'd like you to be. Yeah, that kind of that happened in 2005, wasn't it? Yeah. So yeah, I mean, like I said, they've been kind of getting away from that kind of stuff a bit. You know, when they're not like really in trouble, they don't generally tend to do the real far flung things. But like I said, they are going to talk about Yoshi on Switch more tomorrow on Treehouse Live, apparently. So might see a little bit more, maybe get to, you know, if they have someone from the dev team. So as we record, I'm not aware of any confirmation that it's Goodfeel or, you know, somebody else that we might expect to be working with Nintendo on a Yoshi game. Yeah, it may well be. I don't know. But perhaps we'll get that confirmation and some more stuff tomorrow.
Well, it's interesting that like it's an Unreal Engine 4 game, because didn't Nintendo come out and say, "Oh, our internal devs are now experts at Unreal Engine 4," you know, like acting as if like, "Oh yeah, we're experts at it. We can help you with whatever you ask." So I'm like, did they actually make a giant project with that? And is Yoshi that project?
Yeah, I mean, you figure even if they didn't intend to use Unreal and decided they were going to keep using their in-house engines, that they would have wanted to do something in it just in case they had to support people.
Was it not confirmed, Feel Good? I thought word came out that it was.
I mean, you know what today is like with so much information coming.
Hold
out.
On, yeah. I have the press kit. Give me 1 second.
I'm not saying there isn't anything out there. I'm just saying I haven't seen it.
The like 400 megabyte press kit with like 100 megabyte images.
I cut a lot of that stuff down because it was... So yeah, the press kits were absurd. If you're sending me a press kit with 100 megabyte image for a 3DS game, you can get out. I don't need that. If you're sending,
that's bigger than the 3DS game.
EA is the winner for sending us for FIFA for Switch. It was 100 megabyte picture of the cover athlete, and that's it in the press kit. I'm like, I don't need this. Nobody needs this. You need to stop. I am reading the press kit for Yoshi TM for Nintendo Switch, parenthetical working title. Discover the flip side of Yoshi's world. Lead Yoshi to a brand new adventure that will turn everything you've come to expect from side-scrolling games upside down. Explore the great big world decorated like a miniature diorama with a new art style for the franchise, where each side-scrolling stage has a traditional front side as well as a flip side with different views and surprises. Look for items throughout the stage. Just as Yoshi makes his way to the goal, you can even join up with a friend. Features is just the same thing written again. developer is
gotta make it look longer.
Developer is Goodfeel. There we go.
That's
confirmed.
Nice. Yeah, that's nice to know for sure that they're working on it, because
features is just that thing bullet listed. It's pretty amazing.
Well, I really like the aesthetic. It does sort of give me a little bit of, with the diorama, sort of like a color splash vibe to it, with just like. And that game was great too. That was definitely a shock. I did not expect to see a Yoshi game.
No, yeah. I would have expected DK to be sort of, you know, carrying that flag. Although this is, you know, a little bit different. You know, there's some sort of three dimensional kind of aspects to it. Until if you see
Paper
like that
Mario-y.
Sort of
Paper Mario-y.
Yeah, you saw the sort of a glimpse of a boss fight with like a train. And then you kind of you are actually, so it's almost like sort of on a board game, like sort of flooring, and then Yoshi's going on the track, you know, in 3D. So it's kind of like a top down boss fight. So it does seem, you know, like compared to Kirby, which seems like it's very much just, you know, the recent lineage of Kirby games going from Return to Dreamland to Triple Deluxe to Robobot, just taking a switch. This at least is, you know, somewhat different from your regular kind of side scroller in that sense.
And speaking of Kirby 2018, to me it was actually even more kind of shocking because we've already had three Kirby games announced this year. Because of course we had
And of course this one that we know is coming out sooner that they have
anything about it.
Yeah, the action fighting one for 3DS that's coming before the end of the year, supposedly.
Oh, wait, so they talked about the Switch one, but they didn't talk about the 3DS one that they already announced.
I assume that could well be something that gets shown, you know, in the same way that Metroid got shown today, you know, at Treehouse Live for the first time. And they've also got the expansion of the Blowout Blast from Robobot to come as well. Plenty of Kirby stuff.
It seemed like the announcement of another. So when it came up, I thought, why are they showing us the 3DS Kirby? That's not 3DS. Because I thought maybe that was the undocumented Kirby. Very quickly, that's not what that was.
Just get picked up by ice.
Yeah, exactly. You need to get out.
Oh, goodness.
To be fair, though, if Kirby is probably some kind of criminal. So in this game, as opposed to eating your enemies, you make friends with them by throwing giant cartoon hearts at them.
Yeah, and recruit.
Just throwing your love.
And you form a train that can be controlled in multiplayer. And then sometimes you're also a wheel and you roll over enemies.
I think that's my favorite. Just tumbling down the hill, plowing people over.
The most interesting thing from the footage I sort of saw was the what seemed like your sort of composite powers. You had a hammer that was sort of covered in water, for instance. So it was kind of like your two classic Kirby abilities seemingly, you know, merged together. So I don't know whether they're bringing back something similar to Kirby 64 there, you know, or how they would get combined or whatever, but that's cool to see because, you know, I do like it when they make good use of the power stuff, especially they've got such like comprehensive move sets now, you know, from kind of Triple Deluxe and all that, like every power is like kind of like a character in a fighting game or something. And then to take it to like composite powers, on top of that, it's kind of funny thinking of Kirby as this sort of very straightforward, accessible game, but it's got all these kinds of, layers to it. If you want to mess around.
Yeah. I liked how, you know, with the multiplayer aspect of working together, like in, for instance, when they had you lit the fuse, but then you needed one of the Kirbys to pop open the umbrella to stop the pipe from draining water over it and putting the fire out. Right. I think the multiplayer aspect could be pretty cool. And it's just cool to see Nintendo putting such a focus on multiplayer games throughout the entire, you know, I was going to say conference, but spotlight. It seemed like they were highlighting a lot of multiplayer games.
It made me super happy to see this is a HAL developed Kirby game, because it's been a little while for those.
They're going back to the multiplayer of, you know, Return to Dreamland, because that's so Triple Deluxe and Robobot are really good and they carry on, you know, what sort of began with Return to Dreamland very well, but yeah, with the platform, the co-op aspect got lost, you know, so they're obviously with Switch it's a natural choice to sort of bring it back to that, and it seems like they're really kind of building the game around it to a big extent.
Yeah, it's a...
So let me ask a question, guys. Like, we talked about Yoshi, we talked about Kirby, and I love these franchises, but doesn't it also feel a bit like they're playing to the base with these? Like, I don't think these move the needle. Like, and
they're probably not, but...
They're both 2018 games, right? So, I mean, they can't... I mean, you could make tentpole 2018 games, but you're not going to sell the Switch to people who didn't buy the Wii U already at point with these games.
No, these games were for the base.
Okay.
These are the complementary games, too.
Yeah, and also it's just like contact hitting in baseball. You know, you're not trying to hit a home run with these. You're just trying to get on base. These are games that you feel have a very strong sense of what they're going to sell, based on, you know, all the other games that have been pretty similar on different platforms and all that kind of stuff. So they've probably got very, you know, particular budgets afforded to them, and they know roughly what kind of return they're going to get on them. They've got a bread and butter games. You know, if they're looking for, you know, what's the next thing to sell the system, if Zelda hasn't done it and Mario hasn't done it and Splatoon hasn't done it, well, yeah, it's not these.
Yeah. But these are those games that people jump in for Zelda and Mario, and then they go, oh, you know, I need another game. You know, I haven't played Kirby since, you know, back in 64. Let me try this game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't going to be, no offense, Greg, but Yoshi's not going to be their big winner game of 2018.
I wouldn't expect so.
They're not going to go like, Yoshi, October 27th, 2018. We're going to be like, what? What the fuck happened?
That's what Nintendo wants you to think.
that's before Nintendo makes a lineup of like six new yarn. Wait, they're not yarn. They're felt. Six new felt Yoshi amiibo.
Yeah, oh god, in different colors. Yeah.
They're just flat pieces of felt.
Like, do you remember in the 90s when they had like the all the colors of Yoshi that you could order from the Nintendo Power? I think I have those.
Oh, and I'm there like, you go.
That's. You know, that's where it started.
We're going to call this anyways. Are we going to call this the fierce mercantilism E3, where it's just like, I can sell you crap. And in fact, on that note, we'll get back to Nintendo stuff in a minute, because GX just reminded me that we need to talk to Ubisoft Spaceships to Life game, which is also 2018, which is Starlink. Battle for Atlas. Because I've got a reformed amiibo collector here, and one who's still deep in. How does this game touch you? And I'm going to start with inappropriately as the baseline.
Well, yeah, you beat me to the punch.
Well, you see, when I was 8.
Yeah. No, go. Let's go.
No.
I'm going to let you describe it. Why don't you describe this game?
No, but like when they went, Starlink?
Yeah.
Well, the developer got up there and he said, you know, he's a child of the 80s and he grew up with science fiction.
He was 24. But continue.
Maybe he had just really good skin, but child of the 80s, science fiction, spaceships, you know. So that's what this is about. And because what it is basically a sort of like Earth has been destroyed, and humanity's out there, and we found another world, and it's this paradise. But then we've bumped into this this lost legion, fallen legion, forgotten legion, something, this alien force, and they're about to wipe us out. So you are in a, you apparently choose between a bunch of pilots and a bunch of really customizable spaceships, and you defend humanity against this force, and you fight on these alien worlds in space and on the world. They even showed a sequence where you're coming down out of orbit, breaking the atmosphere, burning up your heat shields, and then continuing on. So you've got ground combat, you've got space combat. The thing looks like Rogue Squadron. And then after all that, they show like, oh, this enemy is like immune to like ice weaponry because you're in this ice world. So in battle, you get a quote unquote real time weapon change, and you pull off and they show the controller, which is actually, well, I think they were using a PS4 controller trailer.
They showed all three.
Okay.
Attached to
the controller is like this spaceship miniature model that's right on top of the controller above your hands. And then you just take a piece off and you slide another piece on. And in the game, apparently stuff flies out of nowhere, and your ship recombines a bunch of weaponry, and all of a sudden you've got fire weapons that can take out the enemy.
I think you're underselling how Ubisoftian this is, because you are holding a controller with which you are controlling a spacecraft that is engaged in dogfighting, but perched precariously atop this controller is a plastic like model that comes apart into little pieces that is somehow communicating to the game what stuff you've... This would be like if you had to control Disney Infinity while holding the Disney Infinity portal on your controller. This is
Let's not forget the digital.
Absurd.
They said you don't have to buy the physical pieces, you can buy them digitally, in which I'm sure they make more money.
It's physical DLC or electronic DLC. I like the idea that at some point there'll be an enemy in this game you just can't kill unless you go buy the thing. It's like, well,
damn it, I need a new blaster. You need to spend $2.99.
You need to get those fire lasers.
No, it sounds horrible, but I want it so much because, okay, on the one hand, it looks like, from the little bit, it looks like I need my Rogue Squadron itch scratched, you know? I want spaceships. I want dogfighting combat, all that.
Yeah, but
on the other hand,
making this, so, keep your expectations
in place. But on the other hand, I have the X-Wing like Star Wars toy. I have like a TIE Fighter Star Wars toy. I have an Outrider Star Wars toy. I think Outrider from Shadows of the Empire. So like, this is like aimed at me. You know,
totally.
This game is aimed at me. I just need to.
I just worry that this game could be hyper exploitative, but also could be like Steel Battalion levels of awkward to play. Like, I mean, the idea of like, oh, well, this is the thing. Like, why is it on the controller? I'm befuddled.
I get you.
I felt like I was being made fun of. It's like, all right, the first one they showed was the Joy-Cons and the grip. And then there's this space fighter on top, and I stared at it and I went, what?
And it was I did the same thing.
and at first you're like, is that just for show? Are they just making us play with a spaceship on the thing just for the heck of it?
Because then they showed stuff snapping on it. I get that's where the reader is on the Switch, is a reader in the Joy-Con. There's no reader in the Xbox One or PS4. So,
it must be maybe it's a proprietary thing. I don't know. I was surprised to see that it's coming to Switch. We'll have to see how it evolves. If it does become super exploitative, it's going to be, I don't know if I can defend that, but like, dark. I just hope it doesn't. I hope it doesn't because I want to play a freaking dogfighting game in space.
Yeah, no, I get that. Like that's
and
that's
I want boys.
That's aimed at me, but like the once they showed like the snapping on the toy to kill the thing that they couldn't beat, and they showed the thing being balanced on there, like you're like somebody carrying plates out in a diner. My immediate thought was, oh no, oh no.
Well, it's better than just buying the ship, scanning it in, and then putting it away on your desk, right?
No, maybe. It would be way better because at least then it wouldn't be on top of my controller.
I think
can't
the
we
most
get
exciting
Rob to like balance two of them and spin them or something.
what a weird announcement this was. All right,
I think the most exciting thing is it's
coming to Switch. I'll take it.
That's what I was going to say. A third-party non-exclusive coming to Switch. That hasn't happened in a long
time.
Well, besides like Rocket League and stuff, yeah. All right, so we have to get to Metroid. We talked about the 4. We made fun of the fact it's a 4. But let's get to the Metroid double hitter that we had. Metroid Prime 4, no date. All we got is literally the text is in progress for Switch, or is being worked on.
And it's not retro.
Yeah, and it's not 2019. Retro.
Follow on to that we got was that it's not retro. It is being overseen by Tanabe's overseen.
Tanabe.
By a new, as
he did with the other Prime games.
By a talented team. A talented new team. Which as I had a little hissy fit in the Discord, as if they're going to announce it's a bunch of friggin' useless people. We couldn't get to do anything
Hacks.
Else as good. We put all our D-listers on this. It's like,
oh gosh.
It's just code for you don't know them, I assume.
Yeah.
Basically,
the dream team, baby.
They have yet another team of like, we just hired these like college kids and, you know, we've had success with Splatoon. Some newbies made that. So now they're going to do a Metroid?
Yeah. So they're going to do Metroid Prime. Not even a Metroid. They're going to do Metroid Prime. Like
the
a
next
very specific thing.
Yeah, I wonder, because it is listed as a working title, it clearly seems very far off. I wonder if the 4 will hold, because by the time it comes out, there wouldn't have been, 3 will be more than 10 years old. So
right.
You know, how much currency does that have? It'd be interesting.
You can't imagine this is a 2018 game, but they would have said 2018.
Yeah, I'm thinking 2019.
No, well, it's certainly not guaranteed to make
the,
you like,
spread of like, please. Go ahead.
No, I do. I feel like, yeah, it would be a minor upset if it made it into next year, probably.
It feels like that this was a please stop asking. Like,
no. How do you feel about the timing of the announcement? Because to me, that seemed like it would have been perfect for, like, all right, we're going to show Mario. Mario kicks ass. And then, like, oh, one last thing, especially since it really wasn't much aside from a logo. And then, boom, drop Mike and get out of there.
I think if
oh,
I think
you mean, like, at the
very
end?
I think you're looking at it backwards from their position, though. Like, that's sort of like the normal PR hype E3 thing of, like, oh, and one more thing. And then game you'll see, and, you know, then, you know, Kojima walks out and announces his game that exists exclusively as a trailer and won't be out till we're all dead.
2025.
So, like, they are factoring this entire thing around the idea of stuff that you can buy in December or buy in the holidays. And so Mario is the biggest thing they intend to sell this holiday season. So that's why it had the anchor spot. And of course, right after the thing finished, they rolled right into more Mario. Like, we got another 20 minutes of
before,
Mario.
Before they got to the Metroid 2 remake stuff, you know, it was back to Mario as being the big attraction of this year's show, which is logical.
The farthest thing off, it made sense that it was kind of in that little slot for just like, oh, here it is, by the way. And I wonder if it's also cover, like if they had just announced the Metroid Samus Returns or whatever. The Metroid Lightning Returns, like for 3DS.
I think people would have been pissed.
Yeah, like it was not. It was them
because
foreseeing
it was, so that forced their hand.
Yeah,
like they knew they were. If they showed 3DS, then people are like, "We're never getting a real one."
Yeah,
yeah. Like, I think the Pokemon experience will have reinforced that. For even though it's a very different franchise, you know, commercially, creatively, every aspect you could possibly think of.
But just an angrier fan base.
Nintendo doesn't listen to the community response. They did a turnaround time in 2 weeks on two different games.
The dynamics, the dynamics of how people react and expectations and stuff. I think it's possible that that may have forced the hand in terms of, well, if we're going to show this Mercury Steam, side-scrolling game on 3DS, we want to kind of cut that hysteria that some people will feel off at the pass. In terms of why isn't this on Switch? Why isn't Metroid on Switch? You know, why isn't it a Prime sequel? Because those are the ones I like, or what, you know, certain contingents of the fan base would say. It just kind of negates all that. And also, you know, I mean, look, it's pretty down. There's a lot of parallels with 2002 right now. I mean, so, you know, Metroid had been away in 2002 for what, 8 years?
And Super Metroid.
Metroid now has been away, you know, not KM Federation Force, which is, you know, I like the game. I don't think it's got a terrible amount to do with Metroid. If you think of it as being away for 7 years, what did they do then? Well, they had the sort of the approach on two fronts. You know, when Metroid came back, it came back on GBA and on GameCube. And, you know, so you've got now, you know, this is coming back on 3DS, and then, yeah, there's not going to be anywhere near simultaneous like it was back in 2002. But, you know, we've got the sort of two strands of Metroid coming back, just like they did back then. So, you know, it makes sense to me.
I wonder if the simultaneous launch for those two games taught them anything, because that was a lot of Metroid product to push into a channel that had never really proven to be that receptive.
Well, like, don't forget, it just went on from there. I mean,
they just jammed the Metroid down our throats.
That was 2002, but then, you know, in the next few years, you had Zero Mission, you had Prime 2, you had Prime Pinball, Prime Hunters, Prime 3. You know, from 2002 to 2007, there was a hell of a lot of that. And also, around that time, was a hell of a lot of F-Zero as well. But, you know,
nothing.
And yet, you know, there was no side-scrolling Mario between, like, Mario World in 1991 and New Super Mario Brothers in 2006. So those are strange days, really. Let's just not kid around.
Now we just get a bajillion Fire Emblem games.
We get a lot of Fire Emblem products. It's reached the point where it's product. It's Fire Emblem product. Like, because games implies something that maybe we don't necessarily need to imply. Like, this is, there is a Fire Emblem assembly line, and they are just creating Fire Emblem.
Just churning out and games and amiibo.
Mind that less than a week ago, I was sitting in this very chair talking in this very microphone and said, oh, if they put one of these out every 6 months, I'd be happy. So I'm part of the problem, but like, I acknowledge that like, we've reached the product phase of Fire Emblem. It's somebody's job to just go like, all right, how can we squeeze another Fire Emblem game out? How can we do this?
How can we make a Tiki amiibo and push it? I guess we'll make another game.
Can we reach the product section of Advance Wars, please? Living in the product section of a franchise is better than living in the, does Nintendo even acknowledge this franchise's existence?
And what? What are we talking about? Advanced what?
Oh my god.
So we actually, one of the things you made me think of this because Wargroove, which is just Advanced Wars in fantasy setting, not hide nor hair of indie games, unless you want to count Rocket League. But Rocket League is sort of blown up to the point where it's sort of transcended indie. Yeah. Nothing.
That's very different from like everything Nintendo's done for like the past year and a half.
Yeah, almost everything they showed was them published. Like
we didn't see any Capcom or Atlus, which I thought might have popped up.
Yeah,
there's no like Nindies push. Like right around now, there's all this like marketing about Nindies, right? And they've got Nindies, and they talked about that a couple like months ago. Nothing here at E3.
Nope.
I have a feeling on the Treehouse, maybe over the next couple days, we might hear about some, you know.
I would expect so, yeah.
Overcooked or Stardew Valley, I feel like would be a good one to, you know, people are excited about. Even, yeah. I guess, you know, Yooka-Laylee isn't really an indie, but a game like that, you know, could maybe see some Treehouse time.
It was a little surprising. Like, I expected to see some more of that stuff in there.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, will they have that much time? Because you saw how much time the Splatoon tournament took today out of Treehouse.
Like, yeah, they have two more tournaments to run.
Yeah, they've got farms, and they've got
maybe they'll be less time reliant just because of the nature of those games and all that. It seems like they'll be dedicating a fair bit of time though to those. So we'll have to see. But I mean, in terms of the substance of the Metroid 2 remake to get back to the
rambling there.
Yeah. They did reveal it was being developed by Mercury Steam with some sort of oversight from Sakamoto. So, yeah, I mean, I'll be interested to see how people receive this in that sense. You know, there's certainly some quarters, you know, Sakamoto's name has been sort of equated with muck just because of the
association again
with Other M, you know. I find that to be myopic considering his deep involvement with the original Metroid, Super Metroid, Metroid Fusion, Metroid Zero Mission, like the games, the reason why I love that series, the games that he was very deeply involved with, and also just the fact that you look at, you know, Fusion was more story based and all this kind of stuff, and then, you know, the next game that he was involved with on the series was Zero Mission, which was very much the opposite, and that's kind of what we're getting here. You know, you're getting a return to a previous game, and I don't imagine it's going to be very story intensive and all that kind of thing. But, you know, Metroid 2, we did a retroactive on it some years ago. I'm sure it came up quite a number of times then that it has certain issues, and it's apt to get, you know, a remake to clean up a lot of those. Or it's had a bunch of fan remakes already. We had AM2R just recently that was, you know, sort of proved quite popular with fans, and obviously they ended up eventually kind of shutting it down, understandably, just on the basis of Virtual Console alone. But obviously they had this in the oven as well. But, you know, I'm just pleased and sort of relieved in a way that as we come into the end of, you know, presumably coming to the end of the sort of DS, you know, 3DS dual screen era, which has been so well suited to this kind of game.
because of the second screen with the map on it and all that, that we're actually going to get one. You know, we're actually going to get a Metroid game in this style on the two screen device, which is just so, been so perfect for it. And has had, you know, so many good ones over the past 13 years or whatever it's been, but just not Metroid. And now we've got it, and it seems like they're making full use of it. You know, you can like mark the map for like, you know, okay, this is somewhere where you might want to come back later with different equipment or whatever. You know, that's certainly going to make the game a hell of a lot more playable. Seems like they're bringing in a certain amount of the sort of physicality of Samus in Other M with the whole kind of melee counter thing. You know, but I think the biggest thing for me about the Mercury Steam element, if you might remember, they did Lords of Shadow games for Castlevania, you know, on PS3, Xbox, 360, and then the Mirror of Fate game, which was their sort of attempt to marry that to a traditional, you know, a Metroidvania type of game. I wrote a weird blog about this years ago during my time trapped in the Black Lodge, where for me, they kind of missed the point a bit, because they had this, structure of a Metroidvania, but then they tried to incorporate all this like heavy comboing from the console Lords of Shadow. And so you had this kind of weight of the character and sort of pace to the combat that felt very different from, you know, even like a typical Igavania game, you know, where you'd have a character like an Alucard. And it just kind of, to me, ended up feeling more like, you know, Smash Brothers single player than it did Castlevania. Yeah. And that kind of is the big concern, whether, you know, they've got the right kind of, you know, because clearly they thought they were going to kind of like marry the best of both worlds and all that, but it's not that simple. You've got to get the feel of it right. But what I saw on Treehouse definitely had a much, you know, Samus looked like she was moving fast. It looked like, you know, it all kind of flowed a lot quicker than that. Didn't have that kind of brawler type of aspect, even though you got these sort of quick counters and stuff. It's more kind of, you know, you do that and then the enemy's vulnerable and then it dies. It's not like, you know, some encounter that's going to keep going and going and going. So, you know, I personally, with Sakamoto overseeing it, you know, I think there's a chance that it, you know, could come out rather well. And, you know, for me, I think there's some merit in the original, you know, base of Metroid 2 to be brought out by a remake. So, no, really cool development, but, you know, and it's cool it's coming so soon. But, you know, I'm not totally sold yet. But I mean, I'll be playing it, you know, out of interest for sure. I mean, I played Mirror of Fate out of interest. You know, like there's no way I'm not gonna play it. I need to see this for myself, but I'm not exactly counting on it being brilliant just yet.
The other big change I noticed, you touched on the counter, sort of like the melee smack, but also the free aim shooting is different. You know, I believe the original just had like the 45 degree angle. So yeah. I feel like that's going to definitely give a different feel to a Metroid.
So
that could actually help increase the pacing, if anything, you know, like that, because that's, if you're not kind of so much worrying about, like, you know, aiming and lighting or whatever, it could get even quicker. That could be
something. Got some call in from the team that actually was at the show today. Who do we have on the line over there?
Hey guys, we've got Aaron Kaluska, John Lindemann, Michael TYP Cole, and Johnny Metz here with Jared on the ones and twos down here cutting videos for y'all.
Dear God, it's a teleconference.
And we are in the video room at E3 2017. We're at the show right now. Still, we just came back from an appointment. I just got tackled in the hallway by Bill Trennan.
Nice. Did you
knock him down?
Did you?
I was looking at
down?
My phone, and then all of a sudden, someone was like, had their arms wrapped around me, and I thought I was being taken down to the floor, and I was like, "Oh God, security! It wasn't me."
And that was coming from a meeting that had Iga in it.
Right. Yeah. We saw Iga, and it's been fun. It's been fun. We met Matt Walker from the Famicast.
Yeah. Who's an awesome dude.
Hey, James, I can confirm that Iga did have his whip with him.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask.
Oh, dang.
He did, and he whipped it while he was presenting.
Yeah.
During a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, yeah.
Do I know James?
Oh, I love that. I love watching that. My best memory of him is when they had that 360 Castlevania game that he didn't work on that was, we call it Harmony of Assets. And he's walking through their booth with the whip on, and he just stops and stares at it. Like, just as confused as we were.
It was timed perfectly because it came up to the point in the PowerPoint where they were talking about the different, you know, things you can wield, and it's like blah 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 whip, and he's like, and then he just wraps it up and puts it away.
Oh, that man is a treasure.
So guys, ask us anything.
Yeah, all right, real quick then, like let's just lead off. What did you guys get to play today?
Mario Odyssey.
Yep. Sonic Forces.
Okay. Yep. I know you had challenges playing Sonic Forces, so I'm glad you finally got on.
Yeah, Sonic Forces. Yeah, we actually got a chance to play that at the Sega booth because I think the girl that we talked to didn't even realize that there was actually two lines, and we were right in the middle of both lines, and she's just like, hey, step on up.
Yeah, we accidentally cut, which is what I would have tried to do if I had known there was a line anyway, so it all worked out.
It's all good.
Yeah.
I also played. I played the Cold Sept 3DS game.
I played Entry Odyssey a couple times.
Right. Yep.
I might have y'all lead with Cold Sept then because I don't know what the hell Cold Sept
is. Yeah, I played it and I really don't know either. I mean, it's a board game.
Yeah, it's kind of like Monopoly meets like fantasy card game.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
You put stuff down on the different pieces. You put creatures down on the board, and I guess that when your opponent is it, do you have an opponent? In Concept? Are you playing against somebody? I couldn't really tell.
I think so. Yeah. But yeah, because it's kind of like Monopoly where you can build things, sort of.
Yeah,
but,
you're almost like you're kind of like laying creatures as traps, and then when your opponent walks over your square, they have to fight your creature, that kind of thing.
Serena,
I mean,
screaming
cool
right now.
For Concept, it, you know.
Serena, if you're listening, we'll get you on at some point to explain what Concept is, I promise.
This is really the first game we're going to discuss at E3.
I wanted mystery, so we're going to go with that. All right, what else? What else did we get?
Bloodstained, and there was another game.
Indivisible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. All right.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah?
I think so, yeah. As far as we can tell, Skyrim for Switch is not here unless it's buried somewhere back in Nintendo's area where most people can't get to it. We'll find out tomorrow for sure.
Neither is Rocket League, neither is Xenoblade.
Rocket League could be here. We haven't caught up with the developers yet.
True, but it's
not on display anywhere that we can tell.
None of the
3DS games are on display, at least on the show floor, as far as we can tell.
But Metroid 2 is not
that's
here.
Some
of these things could be in the VIP area, so we're going to...
I would assume that Rocket League is...
I would assume they are.
I saw a reference to 3DS games, so they're here somewhere.
Okay.
Probably, like you were saying.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. But, I mean, in Nintendo's main booth that everybody can walk into, there are
no
3DS
games.
Everybody
does walk into it, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I was going to say, how can you get from booth to booth?
I would say there are literally thousands of people in Nintendo's booth in any moment during show hours.
I mean, we are talking about. I mean, James, I was in line for 40 minutes for Sonic Forces, and the line didn't even move.
We left.
Yeah.
That demo just sounds like it's too long.
3-hour line for Mario Odyssey.
Yeah,
and that's right.
It was all done. That was for the handle one. We only had like 4 setups for the handheld.
Yeah, right.
And I wanted to make sure to do that because on the TV they have lag. And I wasn't sure the control problems I had would lag or not, so I wanted to play on the handheld to find out for sure.
So the handheld was probably jam-packed, right? The handheld?
Oh, my God.
Because we got
that
there.
That was at least 2.5 hours.
Really?
I noted when I scored in line on Twitter. You can look it up. I'm pretty damn sure it was at least 2.5 hours.
Wow. I went later, and it was only about an hour, but then it packed you up again, so I don't know.
Well, the problem is that the line squishes together, right. So you don't think it's that long, and then... I mean, the line next to me, there were 2 of them.
Yeah.
That one wasn't nearly, I bet it was like half
a
line.
I mean, basically, there are so many people there, you can't tell that there's a line because it's just a square of people everywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so there was a picture that was making the rounds on Twitter, and you guys probably saw it, but there's that whole, like, you're inside E3, you don't see the news that's happening about E3 from the outside phenomenon. There was this picture taken from, at like, a 45-degree angle looking down into their booth, and it looks... I described it. It looks like a slum in like a giant city. Like, it's just...
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
It's New Donk City, man.
It's New Donk City. Yeah, that's the theme. It's all donk.
Yep.
It was all donk all the time.
It is.
It looks
good. Yeah, so Johnny and I lucked out with Mario Odyssey because they have it set up so that there's like a kind of like a two-bench area with four portable switches set up where you can play Mario Odyssey. And Johnny and I, we just happened upon that. That was the first place we went right first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And so we got there. And the thing is, I knew that would get really packed because what they're doing is if you play at that setup, you get a free hat.
You get a visor.
You get a visor. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But they also have the thing where if you play at five of them, you get a shirt.
Right. Yeah. Nick, man, so, those coupons real quick.
They said they have 400 per day for that. So.
Yep. Yeah, I feel like the
swag aspect is just... It always makes it bad.
It was bad this year.
It's horrible. I mean, yeah. there's absolutely no reason for them to be doing this.
The Wii Sports Resort here, it was bad. And those were just Frisbees. That Wii Sports Resort happened on.
But it's also open to the public this year. And yeah. I mean, honestly, it's never smelled worse.
Yeah.
it is very slum-like then. I mean, that's a hard statement to back up because...
I would say, I mean, just if we're talking about like the history or the evolution of E3, I would say it feels, in terms of the crowd, it feels more like 2005, 2006, you know, before it kind of imploded and shrank back down again.
Yep.
But the weird thing is John and I were in South Hall to go see Monster Hunter World. Matt Walker was over there and we looked around Bethesda and, you know, and a couple other booths. All the exhibitors from the heyday are not there. Right. So there's less companies. It's not as loud for sure, but there's still all the people there, which is a weird thing. It's like, it feels like there's more people here to play fewer things or to see fewer booths.
I assume that's part of the reason the ESA made this decision is they wanted to have more bodies in there. So those exhibitors who stopped coming feel like EA's not there. EA's not there, period. EA's doing their own thing somewhere else.
Rockstar is the same way.
Yeah, like, I wonder if this was more like, well, now you have to come, because look at all these people you'll be disappointing if you're not here. But
there isn't room for all the people and more companies, though. That's,
yeah, I mean, like, it's at some point you have to squeeze out the... Because Kim and Becky did a Facebook Live stream through South Hall.
And they did a walkthrough, right?
Yeah, the walkthrough. And, of course, they ended up in the parts...
Walking might be a strong word.
They ended up in the parts doing of... That. We ran into them. There's the stuff there that could get squeezed out if EA wanted to come back. Like, a Chinese publisher of Mobage games that wants to break into the Western market. Like,
It's not lacking for exhibitor space. I think this is probably... The public stuff is probably a play to get more exhibitors to come back, if anything.
Right.
So do you have any questions about the actual game?
Yeah. You play the new Mario.
Talk about Mario. Go.
Yes, please.
It feels like a Mario game. I mean, it sounds stupid, but, you know, there are two levels on display. There's the New Donk City and the sand level. I'd say the New Donk City feels more like a open world thing, like something showed off. I mean, it's more of like a hub and spokes. So there's a lot of doors you can go into or areas that then become kind of a linear, almost like a 3D land type level.
Yes, yeah, definitely not open world. I'm not really sure how it's all restricted exactly, but there were places that you could go that you couldn't go, and it did seem somewhat small. It was also, there were just a lot of different paths and a lot of sort of hidden secrets, and you have to kind of figure out how you actually get to them.
Yeah, it's kind of sandboxy.
So I played the desert world, the Toastarino town or whatever, and it felt to me a lot like a Sunshine. Like, it felt like a little bit like the Sunshine hub world combined with maybe the desert world from Mario 64. So when the level started out, I was near the town, and so I kind of walked into the town, and they showed me like a little quick cutscene of, you know, the camera zoomed up to a place like up high, and they said, go here to get a moon. And I was like, nah. And so I just like kind of, John watched me. I picked a direction. Like, at some point I was like, I'm just going to veer off 90 degrees here and see what happens. And I ran over there and I was just in the desert. And I really just wanted to see, like, how far does the world go? Is there an invisible wall here? Is there a bottom? At some places there is kind of a rift or a crevice where you can fall down, and it's just a bottomless pit that makes the border of the level. But I totally just picked a random place, ran off in a direction. There's nothing out there, and I kept running. I went over a hill, and sure enough, there's like a pit of poison with some platforms in the middle with coins, and there's a couple of people there to talk to, and I found a moon over there, and there's like a secret kind of a tomb or a dungeon entrance that I couldn't figure out how to get into. So there's definitely major secrets all over. And the most exciting thing to me, this might seem like a really small detail, but when you find these moons that are like the Mario, you know, 3D Mario stars, basically, right, when you find these through the level, it doesn't kick you out of the level or make you go back to the checkpoint.
Yeah, so we
find
about
it
this
and
coming
you just
in. It's
keep
very,
going.
Yeah. It's very banjo-y.
Yeah, and there are
way.
Checkpoints, actually.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Actually, in the Sandlot, if you took the route that they really wanted you to go, this may just be for the demo, but it was kind of like a string of linear missions that kind of you navigate through. But you get a moon, you might even get other moons on the way to getting that main moon.
Right.
And then, well, okay, now it's the start of another mission and points you in this direction. And I strung together like three of those before the demo ended. And the last one was like a pyramid door opening. I mean, like, okay, that's cool.
I mean, in some ways, it reminded me of like a mini version of Zelda where you just have all these random things happening to you as you're trying to actually get to wherever you're going.
Yeah, there's a lot of characters wandering around. There's a lot of enemies. The first battle I get at, or like the first combat situation I got into was like five or six little Goombas running after me, and they were pretty aggressive. I mean, they didn't like wait their turn or anything.
Yeah
they just came straight at me.
Blood Stomp is not good against those things. You really have to hit them with your hat.
Yeah.
Which
is
actually a really, really sweet mechanic. It feels really good.
Yeah, the hat is nice. You can hold the button down and it stays out, and then that's when you can go and jump on top of it for the extra boost.
I never did that.
Yeah. I didn't use it. I didn't find a place to do it usefully. Like, I didn't actually apply it, but I did kind of mess around with it a little bit. And I just honestly, you know, to say that it feels like Mario is very important, I feel like. And I really did feel like it felt really good. It felt like a tight, modern 3D Mario game. John and I only played it in handheld mode. Mm-hmm. And I was a little worried about playing on Joy-Cons because I'm not the biggest fan of the Joy-Cons, but I feel like the control scheme they had, it didn't feel as cramped or fiddly as Zelda does when you play on the Joy-Cons. It felt natural, and I was playing the new, brand new big Mario game, but on a handheld, and I just kind of got absorbed into it right away. It just felt natural. It felt good. I walked away from it thinking, that felt like Mario. That felt really good. The joysticks, all the stuff.
Chat wants to know motion controls.
I did not try the motion.
I did. I mean, I did for like, it's okay.
I mean, our Joy-Cons were attached to the system, so it wouldn't have been as easy to do, but.
I did it just to see, you can do it. I guess if you're used to Galaxy, you can basically do the equivalent of the spin with the hat. The hat's basically the equivalent of the spin.
Right.
You could do something when you possessed a bullet bill, but I can't remember what it was.
Oh, you could travel?
I was going to ask, how was the possessing mechanic? Did that feel good?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't have a whole lot of them. It was mostly just like the bullet bills, and there was one other monster you could possess in sand level for, it has like x-ray specs or something, and so you can see hidden platforms, so that was pretty cool.
It definitely seems like it's this game's version of power-ups, because when you get hit, if you get hit while you're possessing something, you just turn back into Mario.
Yeah. Right.
So it feels kind of like the mushroom or the fire flower, but there's all these different abilities that you get when you take over these monsters.
Right, and not all of them are timed. I mean, the bolt bill is timed basically because it could explode.
Yeah.
But the other one that I possessed for, like, basically a puzzle to solve, you can see it was long.
What kind of creature was that?
It was, I don't know how you describe
was
it.
Was that
it
the little stone, like a little miniature thwomp looking guy?
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
Okay.
Sunglasses you can put on or take off.
Oh, cool.
And when they're on, you see you can't walk quickly, but you can see the platforms.
Yeah.
In some cases, you could stay in that mode, and one or two, you had to unpossess them to be able to hit, like, the hidden question block.
Okay.
We also had a question about go ahead.
I was going to say, did you guys have a chance to play the 2D portion in the...
A little bit,
yeah.
Yeah, that was neat. I wanted to bring up something. So in the 2D portion, you hold down Y to run, so it's kind of more like old 2D Mario. But when you're running around in 3D, it's all analog. There's no run button, which I really like. And it makes the analog stick pretty sensitive.
Right.
So you really want to use that to control how fast you're moving, depending on the situation. I felt like they hadn't done that in a while. You know, and it just felt really nice. And he runs pretty fast at full clip, although he's slowed down by the sand. So at first I thought he was going to run faster than this, but it depends on the surface.
You can do a roll move. I don't know if you figured that
one out.
That lets you go a lot faster. It's kind of like the Zelda roll where right. It's a little harder to control, but you can go faster. And I actually was trying to rush at the end of a demo once, and I was rolling, but there was this sinky pit, kind of like what you're referring to. And I started rolling, you know, there was a hill size. I started rolling towards it. I'm like, oh, crap, I'm going to go into this.
But that was, when I first was playing, I was like, where's the run button? And I look and it says, like, run, it's mapped to the stick. I'm like, okay. And then, yeah, it really is analog.
Mario was the one game I played today that I am the most excited to play again tomorrow.
Hopefully, sure. Less fewer lines.
Well, I mean, regardless. Fewer, sure. I just want to spend more time with it.
I do want to play it on the TV, though.
Yeah, for sure.
How's
it
camera?
Looks really nice on the
I did not
screen.
Enjoy it on the TV. Well, I got to warn you guys.
Yeah. Well, we can get that calibrated.
That sounds like a setup problem, though.
How's the camera controls in this game?
It's just fine.
Full. Yeah. It's all of it. It's all the above. So the right stick, you can swivel it around, tilt it up and down, everything. Then you can go into first person look, you know, just like in 64. And then there, if you hit the right shoulder button, R, it will center behind Mario. So you can use that for a quick center as well.
Yep.
I didn't get a sense of how much you're going to need to fiddle with the camera, but you can whenever you want.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain puzzles where you're going kind of down into tubes, stuff like that. Like, I did that I played Metro Kingdom, which is the New Dog City level. And there was one coin hidden in a girder, so you had to kind of go into the steel girder and go all the way down to the end. And the camera got kind of fiddly in there, but it wasn't that bad. I mean, you have full control of it, so you can just adjust it however you want.
Yeah. Cool. It will track itself in certain situations.
Yeah.
It'll try to swivel around and
But you can override.
Stuff. But yeah, you can always override. It seems like it. Yeah.
All right.
Now, the one thing they took away lives, so you now have coins and you lose coins when you die.
Yes.
So my question was why have all those coins? So at one point I had 300 coins and what do I do with them? So they have the shops in there, and in the shops you can actually buy moons. So I bought a moon that was from the mean streets of New Donk City.
Nice.
And I also bought, you can buy different costumes for Mario. So I bought him.
It's like a tuxedo or
yeah,
zoot suit.
Yeah, like a zoot suit. And so all of a sudden you're just running around in a zoot suit with Mario. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. For no reason really that I can ascertain.
And the hat changes too, right?
Yeah,
so right.
It's a separate purchase.
Well, you can choose to mix and match them.
It's pretty cool.
Did you have a feel for how many moons there are in a stage?
There were a lot in the demo. Yeah.
I mean, at least several.
Probably way more than five that you just kind of encountered.
Right.
Doing
right. Yeah, I mean, in the span of playing for 5 minutes, I found three.
Yeah.
So it seems like there's quite a few.
Yeah. The demo was 10 minutes long.
It felt like five.
It's 10 minutes. Yeah. It feels like 20 when you're in line.
Right.
It feels like,
well, okay. Yeah, but it was 10 minutes, and I found at least six. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There are a lot.
I would bet there's way more than 120 moons in this game.
Yes.
So
maybe 500.
Well, yeah, because I mean, there's different colors of moons. Because the one I bought in the shop was a brown moon.
Really?
The ones that we were getting.
But they were brown.
But some of them are green, though. Or is that per level?
Maybe it'll change per level. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's also different cash depending on. There's a universal cash, and then there's also like the cash that can only be used in New Donk City, and I think
coins.
Yeah, and I think they have similar things.
In Toast Arena, they look like tortilla chips.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
amazing. We'll see what they can do with that. I mean, there's going to be different shops and
stereotyping.
There's probably going to be money changers.
Yeah.
No, because there's only 100.
Oh. No.
Well, yeah. I would think there's a reason for them.
Okay.
I would assume there's exactly as many coins in those cities in the default or in the local currency as there is stuff to buy in the shop.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
You gotta find that coin.
Did you buy that stuff you bought with regular coins or
regular
the
coins? Yeah. I did not use the new currency.
Huh. Yeah, so during the
falling for special triangle,
yeah.
I did not
use
those.
Did you even see where you use the currency?
I think they're in just different shops.
Yeah,
so during the Treehouse live stream.
Go ahead.
In the Treehouse live stream, there were two people working in the shop, and one was taking the regular coins, and one was taking the local coins.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah,
they were selling different
stuff. Just so people understand, we didn't really get to watch the Treehouse live except for maybe the first hour, which I was watching while driving.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, can't be put it on the record.
You know, it's cool. But yeah, so, I mean, we don't really know what all was announced on there. And so can I ask you just live here, did they, like, announce any other games after the Metroid 2 remake?
They announced the Mario and Luigi game that had already leaked.
That got leaked a while back. But that's like a remake of the original Mario and Luigi?
Yeah, with some additional stuff.
Yep, with the bonus mode.
Yep.
Well, that's
the Goomba minion.
That's and amiibo. Maybe the best they one. Announced a bunch of amiibo.
Great.
They sure did. Get your Fire Emblem amiibo.
The Metroid amiibo is almost kind of sparkly.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, don't go.
Johnny, what's the feel on the floor? Is everyone pretty positive on Mario and the buzz for Metroid Prime? Is that sort of a big thing around the show floor?
Definitely a few people talking about Metroid Prime. I think we're all weirded out by the news that it's not being made by Retro. And also then that opens up a secondary question, obviously, of what the hell is Retro making?
Yeah, that's the question show right now, is what Retro is doing.
Yeah, and I guess we might find out in the morning when Treehouse Live comes up. I think they traditionally do sometimes announce a new game on the second day of the show.
Yeah, but that seems big for that slot.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It seems maybe not the most appropriate venue to do that.
Yep.
That's probably your blast ball territory.
Yeah, I mean, Mario was definitely the big hitter today because you know, I think maybe the reason that we've talked so much about the Nintendo booth, it really is as bad as I've ever seen it in there. So it was we got in there and we played Mario and felt lucky to do so. And then it was like, I don't know if we're going to get to play anything else in here or if we did, it would be like ARMS, which seems like a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
So,
they have all the Mario lines on the internal part of the booth. And then on the external part of the booth, they have a bunch of lines to be able to play ARMS or Pokken. Or Splatoon 2, yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird layout this year, but there are a lot of stations for Mario.
There's a ton of them.
There are a lot 16? Of stations, but it's as crowded as I've ever seen it.
Yeah,
and Aaron, we've been to many, many E3s. This is the worst I've ever seen. I'm jaded. Maybe I'm just not as patient with this shit, but
you don't even know where to stand in line literally the two lines they'll have like the two rows of Mario Odyssey things there, and there will be basically people back to back. So it's not like there's the end of the line where you can insert yourself into. There's just people all the way right to the middle of the aisle.
Yeah,
just smushed.
Like 10 lines deep, like just 10 stations.
It's really crazy.
There's just no room
in Nintendo's. I think the layout of their booth is smart for the number of people who are here this year, because it is open and
they normally subdivide a bunch of times.
It's as good as they could have done.
I think so.
It's a big rectangle
on Twitter. The number floated around is 60 Mario demos.
Yeah, you can't say they didn't bring enough of those, you know. And there's more in the back.
There's no number they could have brought that wouldn't have led to 5-hour waits.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, if you're depending on where you look, you can find shorter lines. It's just it's very kind of hit or miss. You know, there's a lot of variability in how long you wait, just depending on where you stand or what part of the booth you go to. Mm-hmm. And so that's frustrating, but also, you know, there's opportunities there as well, I think.
Yeah. They also have like Fire Emblem Warriors. There is one placement of that on the show floor.
Did anyone play it?
And it is literally back in the corner, so you have to. I doubt I'll play that.
I was,
you know,
because,
that is,
so
that's,
I was waiting.
That's
in line
the exact
for that
spot Zelda Musou lived in the year that it was there.
Yeah,
yeah, pretty much. And the lines is just as bad because the demo's way too long.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
And there's only one of them. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so it's like after 40 minutes, because when John was waiting to play Sonic Forces, I was next to him waiting in line to play Fire Emblem Warriors just so we could have somebody who played it. And after 40 minutes, it's like, I don't want to wait another 45 minutes to play Fire Emblem Warriors. Yeah. Like, I'm not even that interested in it. So
speaking of Sonic Forces,
it
Sonic
looks nice, though.
Sonic Forces is not bad.
Sure.
No?
It had some frame rate issues on the Switch.
Yep.
But it looked pretty good overall.
Yeah, that's a pretty good looking game. I mean, it plays more or less like the recent Sonic 3D games.
Like
you know?
Generation.
Yeah, Generation.
Well, they all play Generations also plays like, I mean, they're all the same lineage.
Yeah, the feel of it, the level design, I would say, is pretty similar.
Yep.
I did play as one of the Avatar characters, which was weird.
Yeah, how was that? I never saw that.
I couldn't figure out how to do the whip or whatever. Just she did it on her
own. Well, it was on a trigger. She had an electric whip attack that was kind of did more aerial damage, so you could attack a lot of enemies at once.
Yeah, so basically, the way it's laid out is you have the classic stage, which is a boss fight against Eggman. That's the 2.5D view. Then you have the Sonic stage, which is
more
like
3D.
That's 3D Sonic adventure sort of style.
It's got all the shit, right? So it's got the parts where you're running forward on the track and you're just sort of steering left and right, you know, within the walls. And then it's got parts where there's more enemies and there's some jumping and you're trying to, you know, move around and it's a little more 3D. And then it's got places where the camera just takes over and you go through loop to loops and you're not even really doing anything. Mm-hmm. And these are all connected together very seamlessly, which looks nice. But I mean, my complaint with Sonic goes back to, I don't really know when I'm controlling it, when I'm not. I don't really know when it's 3D and when it's not. It's very clear about it.
Yeah, they have this mechanic in there where you target an enemy, and I think you press B to you kind of like jump in the air and then swoop down and destroy them.
Yeah.
And then, but it's kind of janky in terms of like trying to figure out when you can actually see an enemy line of sight wise.
But John, if you've been playing Sonic Adventure since like 2000, then
the same old problem.
Or even Smash Brothers.
Yeah. But now Avatar mode, like, what was that? So that was...
It was just a different character that I guess somebody, they had already pre-made or something. I didn't get to do the editor.
Every time you
okay, cool.
Oh, so, but the editor wasn't available because I was going to ask how that felt.
No.
I didn't try.
No. You could choose between like two different weapons or something. And
I wanted...
The problem is that would make the lines a lot longer.
Oh, it would have been terrible. It'd have been terrible, but
no, it was farther than that.
In my heart of hearts, I wanted John to make a Sonic character.
if only,
maybe next year.
Bloodstained
looks really great, by the way, and feels nice.
Yep.
It feels.
Here's your money, Johnny.
It is absolutely an Egovania. It is totally that. Jared beat the boss.
Nice.
And, yeah, I thought it felt very good. This was the first time I'd played it. I know there's been other demos for Kickstarter backers and whatnot, but this is the first time I'd played it, and yeah, it met my expectations.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it plays really nice. Has a whole bunch of different attacks. You can, you know, a whole bunch of stuff to equip. I think it gives you. Do you get the whip? You do get the whip in the demo,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
I didn't get it.
I didn't get to try the whip. Jared, what did you think about the whip?
It was working. I didn't think
it was whippy. Like, can you do anything different with the whip?
It didn't look like a Belmont attack. It looked more like it was kind of a swirly, kind of downward angled thing.
Right. It didn't feel. It didn't feel like Super Castlevania 4. It felt a little off.
Right.
And at one point, I thought I did like a diagonal up whip, but I think that might have been my imagination.
Do we know a release date or release window for that? Or I think it's pretty far off, right?
Yeah. I overheard the brand guy saying second quarter 2018. So expect probably mid-year 2018 is what I would expect.
That looked nice. I mean, the 3D backgrounds are pretty good looking. You know, I mean, I think it's an Unreal Engine.
It is.
Which probably explains the Switch version.
Yep.
But, it's very colorful, very Japanese, and I liked that sometimes when you kill enemies, you'll sort of absorb their crystal or whatever, and it kind of reminded me of the Aria Dawn of Sorrow mechanic.
Yeah, and it's kind of spread out. Like, that kind of happens as you're fighting. Like, you don't have to be fighting, like, a boss enemy for that to happen.
Yeah, in the demo, I felt they were kind of giving those out. Because one of them was a double jump, which is probably a key item in the real game that they just shoved into the demo. But I did notice you get a power from Jared beat the boss. The boss was, like, kind of a Bayonetta-style character. She makes her own clothes out of blood.
Yeah, she was called Bloodless.
She controls blood with her mind. And beat her... her crystal soul thing went into his character, and so he gained. That was the end of the demo, so we don't really know what her power does. But you gain, it's got the Mega Man kind of deal too, where you pick up these powers as you go through the game from your enemies.
Like what I told them is, I felt that it really nailed. Like, it has that feel.
Yeah.
Of
the jumping
of
the
night.
And
it
the
really feels
the
like
the pace of that
job.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you even to the point where when you get the double jump power, you can push the button again and down to do kind of the Chun-Li downward dive kick.
Yeah.
For the third button press, which has been, I think that was in Symphony of the Night. I mean, it's been in those games for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And I just sort of accidentally did it just almost out of habit, you know, and it was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is one of those. Yep. Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah,
feels and, right.
Yeah, the timing on the jumping feels identical. Just, yeah. I mean, you can just pick it up and play it if you played any of those Castlevania games.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Like, I like those games more in theory than in practice, but at the same time, like, that one looks really good.
It felt really nice. And, James, this is mainly for your benefit, but on Twitter, I did post a side-by-side picture of the first time I met Iga
I saw.
Yep.
I showed him the original picture, and Iga doesn't really speak English, but he patted his tummy and he said, "Ho ho," you know. And I was like, "Yeah, me too."
Yeah,
it's been a few years.
Yeah. He doesn't need to speak English. All my interactions with Iga are languages is really tertiary to what's going on there.
Yes,
this is true.
Yeah. We know how to speak about the things that we mutually care about.
Yeah, I just gave him a big thumbs up for the game. He's like, "Oh,
yes."
So, we also Monster Hunter World.
Yeah,
we went to that demo.
Right. I mean,
for
that's
PS4.
It's not announced for Switch, but looking at it, I still feel like that game could run on Switch.
Yeah, and it's not such a visual powerhouse that it could be done.
Capcom seems very reserved about the Switch right now. The only thing they've announced is a port of a 3DS game that's still using PS2 animations.
Oh, and hey, we did hear, by the way, I guess this is probably public knowledge, the first I'd heard it, but apparently Nintendo published Street Fighter 2 on the Switch.
Yes. Yes.
And they're publishing Skyrim as well.
Skyrim, yeah, we heard that too.
Yeah, we couldn't find Skyrim, by the way. We tried to track it down.
Not in Bethesda's booth.
Yeah, some places say they're publishing. Nintendo's own website still lists Bethesda as the publisher for Skyrim, but it's confused.
I doubt that. I'm sure Nintendo is kicking in some money
again,
to publish
that game. If you saw Bethesda's press conference, like, it was basically like 18 segments about Skyrim. So
yeah,
which is they're doubling down.
Well, I guess they saved that for the Sony press conference, but they're also doing Skyrim the entire game in VR, which is also on Vive for PC.
Yeah.
That was another Skyrim announcement.
Yeah, that's mind-boggling. I would love to try that. And it is on the floor, so John and I are kind of thinking we might try to hit it up tomorrow.
Yeah, they have those set up. I think they have – don't they have
– You can choose PSVR or Vive to do it.
Yeah, they have three, like, set, like, rooms. Basically, you go up a ramp, and they have three separate rooms, like private rooms
and
set up.
They're not private at all.
They're not private.
They're not private,
but you can go in there and it's just you and a rep.
Yep. Yeah. And then everybody else can watch you look like a dummy trying to look around and shoot your bow and arrow.
The first year that the PSVR was there and they were making you use Move controllers was the best. Because I think it may have even been one-way glass, so everybody could see you, but you had headset on anyway. So you couldn't see anyway because you've got a headset on, and it was the outer wall of Sony's booth, so everyone looked like an idiot.
This guy set up.
Smart.
It was great. All right, what other games did you guys want to talk about? Because we've got about 10 minutes before Nintendo News Report goes up.
Yeah, we got to get out of here.
We didn't play a whole lot else today.
Yeah, that's...
Let's see, Etrian Odyssey
really
5.
505 games, and what about the other Indivisible?
Yeah, Indivisible looks really good. I played the prototype of that on PS4 last year.
Yeah, that's coming from Lab Indie Zeros. They made...
Skullgirls.
Skullgirls, yeah.
Yeah, it runs on the Skullgirls engine, and it looks really good. So it's a little bit... It's not that different from Bloodstained in the way your character moves. You can wall jump, and you get upgrades that let you, like... swing your axe into the wall and use that to climb up higher on it and things like that. You can slide under things. So the level design is really fun, but when you encounter enemies, it goes into a kind of a Mario RPG battle system. It's not turn-based. It's more like Final Fantasy real time. You know, you get meters filling up and things like that, cooldowns. But you control your party. Each character is on a different face button, and you can use directions with those to do different moves and to block and things like that. There's even little bonuses if you time it right. It's all really nice 2D animation, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, it's cool. We also stopped in at Hori's booth.
Oh yeah,
and they have some pretty cool peripherals.
Yes.
for Wii,
for Switch.
Switch
for Wii.
Whatever. long day.
It's basically Wii 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. No, I get it.
I got to try the – I didn't get to play anything with it, but I got to hold the that wired Pro Controller thing they're doing, the $30 kind of stripped-down Pro Controller. Feels all right. It feels cheap, which it is. Yeah. You know, it was designed cheap. But the sticks are all right. And
did you get to play with the swappable face?
Well, yeah. So I did. I took that thing off. It has storage on the back of the controller for it, by the way.
Yep.
But yeah, that thing turns your D-pad. It goes from a D-pad, which is kind of a floating D-pad, and it just sits over the four buttons. So you can take that off, and it becomes more like the Joy-Con four-button D-pad thing, four distinct buttons.
Did it feel good?
It felt okay, but I didn't get to play a game with it, so I don't know if it has the kind of cross-contamination problem that the real Pro Controller has.
Yeah. Right.
But it felt good in my hands.
Yeah, the real Arcade Pro Stick is really sweet.
Oh, that thing was really cool.
Yeah.
I played two different Switch wireless arcade sticks today.
Yeah, we went by the, was it 8-bit?
I was just about to ask about that.
Yeah, we went by their place,
too. Their booths.
How's their cool stuff?
They've got neat controllers over there.
Yeah, because I played with the Super NES controller on Switch. I played Metal Slug with it. I mean, it feels nice. It's a brand new controller, so it's a little bit stiff. The D-pad is a little bit stiff, but I'd say it would be really, really good once it gets worked in.
Yeah.
But it's sweet. Yeah, I mean, they have all kinds, all the old school controller styles.
They look big in the pictures I saw. Are they beefy as they look?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if the one you had might be different, John, because the one you played didn't have the joysticks on it. It looked almost exactly like an original Super Nintendo.
Yeah, those ones they're selling already, right?
I think so. Yeah. But the new versions were under glass case. We couldn't use them. But those have dual joysticks, and they look a little beefier. They have the four shoulder buttons and everything. Yeah, and Super Famicom with the different color buttons and everything too. Yeah. That one looks great.
Yeah,
and the facts on this one on those say that they are wireless and USB-C and have rumble and have motion control, and they're compatible with both Switch and computers.
Nice.
That sounds like a pretty sweet, if the buttons and D-pad all feel great on it, that sounds like a really sweet thing to have.
Now, how's that fight stick you tried there?
The fight stick was good. Honestly, my only complaint, not heavy enough, because I was trying to do Street Fighter stuff with it, and sometimes I would kind of get really into it, and it would almost like rock up off the table as I was using the joystick really violently, because it's a wireless fight stick, so like there's nothing coming out of it, nothing to hold it down. It really didn't weigh very much. It was just very light, but felt good. The buttons are big, and it had kind of an NES styling to it. Looked great.
And it's probably a smart product, because there's a lot of fighting games on the Switch.
Weirdly enough. Yes. So, say what?
The Hori fight stick, was that one there?
Yes, that was the real Arcade Pro 5.
They didn't have the scaled down ones, the smaller ones, but they had the real Arcade
Pro
there.
I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about the high end one.
That is a high end one.
That's what I want to hear about.
Really cool.
Yeah, the real Arcade Pro is a beast.
There was nothing it wasn't connected to a system, so you need to play it.
Yeah, it was just on a shelf. Oh, they had just all their stuff there on a shelf, and we kind of ambushed the dude that was in there.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I'm not the real rep, but I can show you all this stuff, but he was cool.
It felt great. So it's got tons of buttons on the side, turbo switches and things like that. It's got home button and capture button, and all that stuff is on the side. But yeah, on the top, it's just 8 face buttons and a big joystick. And that thing it feels expensive.
Oh, yeah, it would be $150 up there.
Oh, yeah, it's expensive. It's big. It's bigger than the Switch, and something about that excites me.
It's too bad you can't dock the Switch into it. That'd be kind of funny. Yep.
Oh. All right, so we've got about 4 minutes.
It was a short day of E3.
Yeah, we've got about 4 minutes left. What are y'all hoping to see tomorrow?
Well, I want to see some of the Nintendo stuff that I wasn't able to check out.
The actual quantity of games at Nintendo's booth is not very large, right? Because there's ARMS and Splatoon 2, which
we have copies of one and whatever on the other.
Yeah. There's really not very – it's mostly Mario. It's 80-90% Mario Odyssey in their booth. So I'm very curious to see back in their media VIP area for our appointment, what else do they have back there? Do they have any of the 3DS games? Do they have do they have Skyrim back there? I really want to try Skyrim on Switch, and I'm kind of surprised that it's not out here on the floor.
Especially because it got such a central positioning.
Yeah, that's getting a lot of attention. So we'll see. They don't have anybody walking around with like systems attached to them or anything like that. They sometimes will put those out on the second or third day.
Yeah.
Yep.
They wouldn't have any room. If it's like this tomorrow, there wouldn't be any room for
this.
It's probably going to be worse tomorrow, believe it or not.
Yep.
It usually is. It's the best on the first day in Nintendo's booth.
Day three is rough because people are trying to get there before it's over. Day two is bad.
But like this morning, it was a little bit different because of it being open to the public, where you just had lines like streaming out of the entire.
They opened 15 minutes early.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was kind of
probably
ridiculous.
A smart idea.
But so I think now, at least for all the people who didn't know to get there, they now know, and so that's why the second day is going to be way worse.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe we scared off all the passersby. Mm-hmm. Maybe some people decided E3 is not for them. I don't know.
Cool. Well,
yeah, I mean, tomorrow we'll probably check out Sonic Mania.
Yeah, I want to try that.
Yeah, that's the
line
retro,
was pretty long for
that's
that.
That's the retro looking one.
Yeah, we were right there, but the girl was like, "Oh yeah, by the way, there's a line." We're like, "Oh, okay." Yeah.
Watching it look nice.
Yeah, it looks. Yeah. I mean, it looks totally retro. I mean, it looks like a real deal Sonic game. Cool, huge bosses. It looks really cool.
Cool.
Guys, before you go, we had a question in the Discord to ask just where best spot to check updates for those appointments you have tomorrow. Twitter, I assume, or it probably get articles up pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, we'll do instant reactions and stuff on Twitter, and then Jared will be taking video, and we'll be doing as much as we can tomorrow. Probably more writing coming tomorrow versus today.
Yeah.
Today we're really desperate to figure out what where is everything, what can we play.
Day one is chaos.
Yeah. Tomorrow will be more organized.
There was not really a whole lot of time to actually sit down and write anything today.
Yeah. We're getting kicked out, guys. So
all right,
thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. We'll follow you guys on Nintendo World Report on Twitter, and hopefully maybe some of y'all can stop in the Discord. Thanks for being here. And that's actually going to do it for the show, because we're going to be turning it over to Nintendo News Report right after we wrap up here. You can continue hanging out in the Discord. We'll be hanging out to follow along with those guys. We'll post links in there, and of course there's links on the website. And that's going to do it. Thanks for joining us. I want to thank my guests today, Greg, Carmine, and Casey, for hanging out with me for the last 2 hours. And that's going to do it. Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. See you later, guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.